H. University Re-education, Brainwashing and Moral Corruption. With the growth of Marxist ideology throughout universities, campus policy since the 1980s has increasingly focused on preventing offensive remarks, especially when it comes to offending women or ethnic minorities. According to American scholar Donald Alexander Downs, from 1987 to 1992, about 300 U.S. universities implemented policies for the regulation of speech, creating a paralegal system of prohibition forbidding language deemed offensive in regards to sensitive groups and topics. Those who support these prohibitions may mean well, but their actions lead to a ridiculous outcome as ever greater numbers of people claim the right not to be offended for any reason. In fact, no such right exists according to law, but the prominence of cultural Marxism has allowed anyone to claim association with oppressed groups, citing reasons such as culture, ancestry, skin color, gender, sexual orientation, and so on. Administrative staff at universities have consistently afforded privileged treatment to those who claim victimhood. According to Marxist logic, the oppressed are morally correct in all circumstances, and many people do not dare to question the authenticity of their claims. This absurd logic is based on twisting the criteria for judging what is moral. As group identities and sentiments intensify, in Leninism and Stalinism, this is called a high level of class consciousness. People unconsciously abandon the traditional standards of good and evil, replacing them with groupthink. This was most markedly manifested in totalitarian communist states, where the oppressed proletariat were given justification to kill the landowning and capitalist oppressors. The trend of making arbitrary claims of offensive or discriminatory language was started by cultural Marxist scholars, who fabricated a series of new concepts for expanding the definition of discrimination. Among these are ideas like microaggressions, trigger warnings, safe spaces, and so on. University administrators introduced corresponding policies and mandatory education, such as sensitivity training and diversity training. Microaggression refers to an implicit nonverbal offense that one encounters in daily life, with the supposed offenders perhaps being completely unaware of its implications. This kind of unintentional offense or ignorance is labeled insensitive. Leninism or Stalinism would deem this to be low social consciousness. Sensitivity training has become a major aspect of acclimating incoming college freshmen. Students are told what can't be said and which clothes can't be worn, lest they commit a microaggression in violation of university regulation. On some campuses, the phrase "Welcome to America" cannot be said because it may constitute discrimination and is considered microaggression. It could offend ethnic groups that have historically suffered unfair treatment in the United States, such as Native Americans, Africans, Japanese, and Chinese. They might be reminded of the humiliating history suffered by their ancestors. These are among a long list of statements deemed microaggressions by the University of California. The United States is a melting pot, racial discrimination, the United States is a land full of opportunities, and men and women have the same chance of success, denying gender or ethnic inequality. Microaggressions are cause for administrative discipline, as they prevent the establishment of safe spaces. A typical microaggression occurred at the Indianapolis campus of Indiana University, Purdue University, IUPUI. A white student violated the racial harassment ordinance because he read a book titled Notre Dame vs. the Klan, How the Fighting Irish Defeated the Ku Klux Klan. However, the photos of the KKK gathering on the cover of the book caused the student's colleague, who was also a resident assistant, to feel offended. The school's correction office believed that the student had violated racial discrimination rules. Later, after the student's resistance and help of other groups, IUPUI conceded that the student was innocent. Sensitivity training and diversity training are comparable in nature to the re-education programs that took place in the former Soviet Union and in China. The purpose of re-education is to strengthen class concepts. The bourgeoisie and landlord class, akin to white males, must recognize their original sin as members of the oppressive class, and the supposedly oppressed groups must have the correct understanding about bourgeois culture. Pressure is put on them to clear away their internalized oppression so that they can come to recognize their oppressive conditions. This is similar to how feminist education teaches women to see traditional femininity as a construct of the patriarchy. Following the Marxist analysis of class, the personal is political. It is considered wrong to understand a problem from the standpoint of the designated oppressor. Therefore, to reform the worldview and completely follow the Marxist program, words and actions that deny the class oppression or class struggle are punished severely. Sensitivity training is held to fully reveal social injustice, to reorient the standpoint of oppressed groups, women, ethnic minorities, homosexuals, and so on. For example, in 2013, Northwestern University required all students to complete a course on diversity before graduating. According to the school's instructions, after the completion of the course, students would be able to expand their ability to think critically, learning to classify the class, recognize their own position in an unfair system, recognize their class component, and rethink their own powers and privileges, to put themselves in the shoes of the oppressed class. Another typical example is the ideological re-education program that began in 2007 at the University of Delaware. Referred to as Treatment for Incorrect Attitudes and Beliefs, this program was made mandatory for 7,000 students. Its stated aim was to make students accept set perspectives concerning issues such as politics, race, gender, and environmentalism. Resident assistants at the university were required to go over one-on-one questionnaires with the students, and give students questionnaires on what races and genders they would date, with the goal of getting students to be more open to dating outside their groups. When a resident assistant asked a female student when she had discovered her gender identity, as opposed to biological sex, the student said that it was none of the assistant's business. The assistant reported her to the university administration. This mass political indoctrination not only mixed up the standards for discerning moral values, but it also greatly strengthened egoism and individualism. What the young students learn is that they can use the highly politicized feelings of a group, identity politics, to pursue their own individual desires. Simply by claiming oneself as belonging to a group supposedly suffering from oppression, one can accuse and threaten others or use this identity for personal benefit. When other people's opinions are not in line with one's own, they can constitute offense and be reported to the university, which will restrict those people's rights to speech. If one doesn't like the ideas being run in conservative student newspapers, some may even find it appropriate to have the publications burned. Whether one is offended or not is a matter of subjective feeling, but today, even feelings pass for objective evidence. It has gotten to the point that university professors must constantly beat around the bush. Recently, students across many universities began to demand that before teaching certain content, professors must first issue trigger warnings, as some discussion topics or reading material might cause negative emotional reactions. In the last few years, even works such as Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, and ancient Roman poet Ovid's Metamorphoses, ended up in the list of literature for which trigger warnings are required. Some universities even recommend that works deemed to trigger some students' emotions be avoided as much as possible. Many students growing up under this kind of atmosphere have easily hurt egos and try their utmost to avoid feeling offended. The group identity, that is, another version of the class consciousness preached by communism, that is promoted on campuses, leaves students ignorant of independent thought and personal responsibility. Like the radical students of the 1960s who are now their professors, these students are against tradition. They indulge in confused sexual promiscuity, alcohol addiction, and drug abuse. Their speech is full of expletives. Yet beneath their contempt for worldly conventions are fragile hearts and souls, unable to bear the slightest blow or setback, let alone take on real responsibility. Traditional education fosters self-restraint, independent thinking, a sense of responsibility, and understanding for others. The specter of communism wants nothing less than to have the next generation completely abandon its moral bearings and become its minions for its rule over the world.